What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Apparently, we're going to talk about reparations for a little while. I did no show prep on this. The email is pete@thepetecallinershow.com and on Twitter at Pete Callinor. So just to reset, I'm going to get to David and then Terry. But just to reset here, and I did see a call. She did not hang on. I think her name was Madeline, who said she's an immigrant from Canada, or her family came from Canada. It's like, we're going to have to trace it all back throughout all of the history. You're going to have to trace everybody's lineages and stuff. Is that the way we do this? Brian called back. He said he had another idea on the matter, but you only get on the show once. You don't double dip, you know, because we don't need people calling back in every single, you know, hour, every segment, whatever. So you get on once a day. I'm sorry. That's kind of the rule. But to reset, Brian had called in the last hour, and at first I thought maybe he was, you know, kind of doing a bit of a put on about Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor, who was going over the history of the Republican Party, urging the Republican Party to reclaim its history. This is a message that he has delivered often out on the campaign trail and as lieutenant governor. And this video clip was taken. They selectively edited part of it. It's from like 4 years ago. And the media went and spread this clip all around to make the argument that Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson doesn't want women to vote, which is not what he said. In fact, he said the exact opposite. He said it's ridiculous. And so I played the whole thing. And so Brian called in, and Brian was like, oh, I like this. Yeah, tell everybody about all the history, and I'm fine. And maybe he can lead the charge for reparations. And then Brian went on the reparations argument. And I kind of get the feeling that, like, that's Brian's issue. Like, he would really like there to be reparations. And so we talked a little bit about that. People have been, not persuaded by Brian's argument. So people are calling in to talk about it. And here is David. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Of course, you know, I heard Brian, but I agree with Mark Robinson. I think he's right. I mean, it's funny how the Democratic Party has flipped the entire philosophy of what they were to all of a sudden now it's what the Republicans believe, or what we did used to believe. But I'm not in favor of reparations. I think if anybody deserves reparations, it ought to be Native Americans. They're the ones we totally effed up, you know, for everything.
I don't think it's necessary to choose how many different groups of people got screwed over throughout the course of history, American history or otherwise, right? Like, people have been screwing each other over for all sorts of reasons, race, religion, ethnicity, land, resources,
right,
whatever, since Cain killed Abel. So, right. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though, I wanted to point out to you, though, that I'm sure Brian will love to hear.
Uh-oh.
I had an ancestor that was a Confederate soldier. Do people realize Confederate soldiers got a pension from the U.S. government? I have his paperwork that he received. He got it. They ended up giving him appropriations for the fact that whether if they burned their farms or whatever that took place and they fought in the war, the U.S. government paid them.
Mm.
People don't even seem to know about this. And yet I've got his paperwork. I've got copies of paperwork that he received. And how much he got, it wasn't much. I mean, you know, for back then it was a lot, but now it'd be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they got paid. So
that sounds like an argument for reparations.
Well, it was done for them under the circumstances. I mean, again, everybody's got to take into context the fact of what was going on at that time, what were the situations at that time, and today it's there's no comparison today. So,
well, Brian, I got you, David. Yeah, Brian, I appreciate the call. So Brian called back and said, okay, slavery lasted, I think he said 200 years. So he said no taxes, that black people shouldn't pay any taxes for 200 years. And then that would be equal. I did not, like I said, you don't get back on. So you can send me an email, pete@thepetecallinershow.com. You can flesh this idea out a little bit more if you want, Brian. But make sure, do me a favor, when fleshing it out, make sure you address the different types of taxes, if you could. Because I'd like to know, like, for example, is it just the federal income tax? Is it state income tax? Is it sales tax, taxes on cars, prepared food and beverage taxes? Oh, how about ticket taxes? If I go to see a sporting event and I pay a tax on my ticket, like, is that part of the reparations refund or something? Like, just kind of flesh that out for me, too. Okay. Terry, welcome to the program. Hello, Terry.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. What's going on?
I'm sorry about my voice. I was at the Trump rally a couple weeks ago, and I still ain't got over it.
Oh,
I'm
what were you, like, mimicking
that
the truck sound?
Made.
Oh, sorry.
Sir, what I want to know, Brian, is why you think you expect money 150 years later. You get enough money. They get food stamps. They get welfare. They
everybody
get
does,
anything.
Though. But every race gets those.
Look up the facts.
I have.
Africans,
Terry.
Africans draw food stamps and welfare than any race on this planet.
That's not true.
So they got no
Terry, that's not true.
To say they don't get nothing.
Terry,
they get enough as it is.
Okay, Terry, but that's not true. White people actually get more of that assistance.
Yeah. You know why? Because we have to work.
Oh, sorry, all right. So, okay, I just want to make... Well, no, it's not because you have to work. I mean, white people are on...
White people deserves money. Get out, get a job.
Oh, okay, well, that goes for everybody. Terry, I mean, like, if you're going to make an argument and you're going to present the argument as a factual argument, I would submit it should be
factual.
Man, there
is no facts. Is he 150 years old?
No.
Then we'll give him some money.
Oh, well, okay, well, then you can make that argument, but you can't make the argument you initially made. No, Terry, you can't.
Why don't they go over to Africa and ask the guy that sold the slaves to the white men?
You realize.
They'll get you money from him.
Yeah, do you think that they're going to do that?
No, they ain't going to do it. Because
okay, so why would you present
money.
That as an argument that you know they're not going to do it?
My God, I'm so tired of hearing this race crap. If you don't like it, go your ass back to Africa.
Yeah, or wherever you might be, because they could be from, like, the Caribbean.
God almighty, I am sick of it. This country is sick of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the country was founded with these problems, so, yeah, it's part of who we are.
Oh, my God, man.
But, Terry, it's part of...
We don't
want to
hear it. If you don't like living here, go back where you come from.
Okay, so is that to me? Because, like, I would have to...
That's to anybody.
Yeah.
If you don't like
but I'm from here.
This country is run.
But I'm from...
What
but Terry,
we do here. Work for a damn living.
Terry.
You won't have a problem.
Terry, you're mixing a whole bunch of different issues in with this idea.
That's because I got a whole bunch of different issues. They whine and cry.
I can definitely tell that. Yeah, speaking of whining and crying, yeah. I can definitely tell you got a lot of issues there, Terry. Okay, so let me back up there. First off, as I recall, that white folks make up the majority of the country, and so make up the majority of the food stamp recipients and stuff. They just by numbers. Now, if you're looking at a proportion, right? If you're looking at what percentage of a particular population receives different benefits, then yes, you have. It's sort of like the crime stats, right? You've got per capita, you've got the total number, aggregate, you've also then got percentages, proportions. So rather than go through everything that Terry was saying, always keep in mind when you are having these types of discussions, what's the objective? Okay? What's your objective? This goes for Terry, it goes for Brian, it goes for me, it goes for everybody. What's your objective? In having this discussion, what's the objective? What are you trying to do? Now, if you are just looking to get on the radio and mix a whole bunch of issues together and come off sounding kind of racisty, right, then proceed the way you went there, Terry. I'm not accusing you of being a racist. I'm just saying that's the way it comes across, is when you mix all of this stuff together, because you're throwing data in there and you're telling people to go back, yet there are a lot of white people that are on assistance too. Like, I don't know where they go back and where would they go back to? And also, they can't go back, right? You're stereotyping a whole bunch of people based on your preconceived ideas on an argument. Now, you can have these arguments. You could try to make these arguments. And again, like, to what end are you making these arguments? What's the objective? If you're making the argument that you want people to work, that is a universal argument. That doesn't have to be black or white. And it also doesn't have anything really to do with this concept of reparations. It doesn't. Like, the concept, the issue of reparations is to pay back for harm, right? Sort of like if the government comes and takes your property, then you would get eminent, or they would take about the eminent domain or whatever, right? But they would have to offer you, quote, fair market value first, right? They'd have to pay you for the taking. They have to pay you for the harm. So that's the issue. That's the argument. I hope that's helpful. I don't think it is, though. Let me get over here and get John onto the program. Hello, John. Welcome, sir.
Hey.
Hey.
Love you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'm all for reparations. Let's go after the Democrat Party, who was a sponsor of slavery, and make them pay for their transgressions.
I like it. I like it. We'll hit up the DNC. And they got tons of money, right? I mean, Joe Biden's been raising money hand over fist. George Soros, he can front some of these costs. I mean, that's just like probably one election cycle for him.
All right. Head it up. Let me know how it goes.
All right.
Call me if I can help.
I appreciate it. Thank you, John. That's a good idea. Yeah, I mean, if the Democrat Party, they were in charge of all this stuff. They were in charge during Jim Crow, too. We can hit them for that as well. Which reminds me, one of the weaknesses in the reparations argument, and I know, like, I'm probably going past some of the philosophical and getting into the nitty gritty policy side of it, but I always like to think of, I call it like the walk me through your day approach. And I would do this when I was a reporter as well. But whenever you're looking at a complex issue that is predicting something, or like you're proposing something, like, walk me through it. Like, what does a normal day look like under this proposal? So, who would administer the reparations? Who are we going to trust to do this reparation expense, the collection, the expensing, and making sure, like, the research on everybody? Who's the administrator of this program? Is it the federal government? AKA the perpetrator, right? Would it not be? Would individual states do it? I mean, you couldn't trust the states, because some of the states, they were perpetrators too. But so the federal government, the ones that gave us urban renewal, the ones that gave us the Great Society, right? All these programs, or redlining and such, right? Like, all of these abuses, you want these people administering this program? A couple of emails here. This is from Jack, who says, Brian is delusional on reparations. Give them any amount and nothing will change. Have a great day. Also, I wanted to say hello to you, my former neighbor. I lived next door to you while you were at Winthrop. Remember Jesse? And I'm Henry. Jesse and I were roommates. Yes, I remember you guys. I gave Jesse my Plymouth Horizon because it broke down, and I didn't know how to fix it. And so he fixed it, and then he sold it for a couple $100 or something like that. Yeah. I hope you're doing well. I knew you as Henry. Hope you're doing well, Henry. Yeah, we lived, this was off campus, like a block off campus. I'm trying to, was it... Ebenezer Avenue. Yeah, that was the road. Ebenezer Avenue. I lived at a couple places off campus over the years down in Rock Vegas.
All right, so maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks, with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is PETE. Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
Been waiting on a replacement coffee maker, and they apparently sent it to Michigan. Been without a coffee maker at the house 4 weeks now? Going on 4 weeks? Yeah. So I've just been freebasing instant coffee. I'm just kidding. No, luckily I kept my old Mr. Coffee Pot. So I've been drinking out of that. Anyway, I just saw the notice here. I'm just, just chaps me. David says reparations should be paid in Confederate dollars. That should be one way to do it. Ralph, welcome to the show. Hey, Ralph, thanks for hanging on. Sorry about the miscue there at the beginning of the newscast.
About
this
floor.
Right.
Hello.
How you doing? I'm on the phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're
I'm here. I was at the vet dropping. I'm dropping animals off.
Are they okay?
We're talking about reparations. They're just getting checked.
Oh, okay.
I do not personally believe in them. In only one case would like to see them done.
Mm-hmm.
That had to do with what's called the Tulsa race riots, which is mm-hmm. not a race riot because it was an annihilation of a people that were minority,
mm-hmm.
just for the fact that they had something that the populace believed was not theirs, should have been theirs, which was wealth. That was the only reason they were attacked.
Black Wall Street.
I mean, they were wealthy beyond, they were wealthy beyond measure, and they try to say that the military is not to be used on citizenry. Well, I guess they weren't considered citizens because they were bombed. I mean, they were bombed by the army. Now, who has that much power to call in the army on a civilian matter?
Right. I don't know as much about the Tulsa attacks as I do about the Wilmington riots, but there are specific, and here's the thing. Like, in those cases, you could identify actual individuals, right? And you could identify harms and then quantify it by amount of damages suffered at the hands of the U.S. government, right? And so, I got to put you on hold, Ralph. There's so much noise coming through the phone there. I would also be, if you want to make arguments about the seizure of land that was owned by minorities in America under, quote, urban renewal. Right, the government coming in and taking people's property for less than fair market value. I'm open to that idea as well, right? Because that's literally what the courts would be for. But that's where you should be advancing this. Look, North Carolina did this, I would point out, under the Republican legislature, where they paid people reparations for the eugenics programs that they were running, that Democrats ran in the state, right? So when people are harmed by the government, then yes, you can make the argument for reparations to be paid. The problem with the slavery thing, reparations with that argument, is that you have a lot of people that benefited that own slaves that are now, black. So I don't know. Are we going to, Ancestry.com for everybody or 23andMe for everybody? I don't know. Ralph, I appreciate the call. Let me go over and get Stan on. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Pete. I just have one little simple thing here. We're so much focused on about
Stan, I can barely understand you.
I can fix that.
Yeah, no, I can't make out anything he's saying. I'm sorry. Stan, if you want to try to call back, I don't know if that's a speakerphone issue or if that's talking through your Bluetooth on your car, but it's very difficult to hear you. Let me see here. This is from Lowell. Pete, if you go to the Smithsonian website and do some research on General Sherman's Special Field Order 15, you'll get the text behind the 40 acres and a mule argument. You'll also discover that after the end of the war, Congress addressed this order and Congress voted to rescind the order and not fulfill it. It's been over since 1866. That doesn't mean that they obviously went back on their word then, right? I mean, or on Sherman's word, if he had any authority to make that promise in the first place, right? This is from another Stan.
Stanley says, even if the Democrats agree that once reparations are paid, it's over, that won't mean it's over. Weren't we told in 1982 that if you allow citizenship for 3 million people by having them pay $185, maintain good character, and learn to speak English, that we'd secure the border and maintain an orderly process going forward? I don't think Trump's the only one that's mastered the art of the deal. Right. That's the problem here with the whole reparations argument, is that you're counting on the government to keep its word. And so I don't know why you would believe them, unless maybe like you see dollar signs, like there's a big paycheck you think that you can grab here. Terry says, it's astonishing that this harebrained idea is being seriously considered. Well, I don't know if it is actually seriously considered. This was Brian's pitch. And if I remember correctly, Brian has called this show, I want to say it was a couple of years ago, and he also made that same pitch back then. I think this is Brian's hobby horse. I think caller Brian is really in love with the idea of reparations, and so he finds ways to work it into like any topic. Because remember, the topic was Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. That was the topic. And the way he has been maligned over this quote that was taken from a larger context, they took one sentence out of it and they spread it all over the place in order to smear him as a proponent of taking away women's right to vote. And he made no such argument. Let me see here. Going back through the my emails. I do have some tweets as well. This is from Greg. I've always hated the idea of reparations, but the no tax thing isn't a terrible idea. So here's my compromise. 10% flat tax covers federal and Medicare. Social Security tax goes into a managed fund with a minimum 8% return in case of recession. This creates wealth in the black community, which I believe is very important for the future of this country. All right. Yeah. See, so there you go. That's one way to proceed, Brian, if you're still listening. Right. I know you're kind of working out the details, although you kind of said you would leave it to other people. Well, now that I'm thinking about it, if you've been lobbying for this idea for years and you don't have any ideas on how to actually implement it, what have you been doing? Like, are you really serious about getting this thing done? Or are you just, is this a bit? Have I been suckered into a radio bit? Is that what happened here? I had some tweets. Where did they go? Here they are. Gary says, Pete, Brian should be more concerned with the redlining and forced taking of black people's land in the past 50 to 100 years. That's far more relevant today than slavery. Moral Compass says, regarding caller Brian, reparations is like teacher pay. The correct amount is always more. Steve says, I'd like to believe your listeners get more educated when they do listen to you, Pete. Poor listeners like Brian who don't actually listen are hopeless. Yeah, either that or people actually don't learn anything when they listen to the show. Russ says, Terry seems pretty riled up. Since things are so bad, perhaps he should consider returning to his people's land of origin. Brian, Tony, is there a little similarity there? He isn't fooling us. That's a tweet from Mama Tooted. And Jamie says he applauds my patience. And then Melissa says, if anybody should pay reparations, it should be the British government that brought slavery to America. There was no America in the 17th century. Yeah, but then there was one after and kind of led for a while. But this is the problem. This is not a clean issue. It's way nuanced and complex. And what I have learned as an adult and doing this job for as long as I've been doing it, paying attention to these items and these issues for 20 plus years now, is that we as Americans, we don't do complex. It's not our jam. All right. We like legislation that has an acronym that makes a word, you know, and that will fix everything, like the Inflation Reduction Act. That's what we like. Just throw a whole crap ton of money at something, call it by a name that does the thing we want it to do, even if the bill doesn't do it, and that's it. That's what we want. We're Americans. We don't do nuance. All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at carolinareadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden in the news, caving in. The thing that he totally wasn't doing, and there was no problem. Remember, he went on Brett Jensen's show. We played the audio last year, I think it was. And, you know, he soft-pedaled all of this, to basically gaslit everybody, saying that there wasn't anything to any of these reports about the concealed carry permits getting slow-walked, right? No. He's a big Second Amendment guy. He's just making sure that everybody's, you know, doing right by the system, going through the process, making sure everybody is that can get the permits, is getting the permits the right way and all of that, by submitting every single application through the VA, even people that didn't serve in the military. And then when the VA is like, oh, they didn't serve in the military, and they just like toss the application to the bottom of the stack, and it takes you a year to get your concealed carry permit approved because the sheriff's office hasn't heard back. Well, they haven't heard back because the VA isn't prioritizing you. You're not a veteran. And this is the way Gary McFadden did an end run around the law, because that's what Gary McFadden does. This is from WSOC. I believe it's SOC. Yeah. Glenn Counts reports the pace which concealed carry permits have been issued in Mecklenburg County has been the subject of a court fight for years. Sheriff Gary McFadden always has a reason for obstructing concealed carry permits, said Paul Vallone, who's with Grassroots North Carolina, a group that is suing and has sued McFadden and has beaten McFadden in court over this issue. The sheriff announced Tuesday several changes to the process of getting a concealed carry handgun permit. The two most significant are people now have to apply in person for the permits, and all applications will not automatically be sent to the VA for a mental health check. Because, by the way, if you lie on the application to get the concealed handgun permit, if you lie and say you were not a veteran, that's a felony, I believe. You're not allowed to lie on the forms. Oh, but Pete, that doesn't stop somebody from lying. True. But generally, the people who go through the process of getting a legal concealed handgun permit, right, if they're going through that process, they're not doing it to break the law. If they wanted to break the law and conceal carry, they would just go buy a gun and conceal carry. You know, they don't need to go through the process to get the permit so they can legally conceal. They would just conceal, you know, like all of the teenagers do on that go to the uptown area after the fireworks show. So the process of sending mental health releases to the VA has been in place for years, even before Sheriff Gary McFadden was elected in 2018, according to a statement from the sheriff's office. Grassroots North Carolina also does not like the idea of applicants applying in person. They said, our point to Sheriff McFadden is to stop all points of obstruction of concealed handgun permits. The sheriff said applying in person would speed up the process. I don't believe that. The sheriff's office found that many people were not completing the paperwork properly, which caused delays in the processing. And the sheriff said staff is there then to help walk applicants through the paperwork process, and that should help eliminate a lot of the back and forth by getting it right the first time. See, because that's what McFadden has always wanted, right? He has always wanted, this is what he's been saying to us. Like classic abuser syndrome here, right? The gaslighting,
No, I'm trying to help you. You know? No, see, I have to ignore this law. It's for your own good. No, I have to slow walk it here. It's for your own good. Like, everything is framed in this this context of him being a supporter of the Second Amendment and having no problem with people getting concealed carry handguns, which, by the way, you got to go through range training and all of that. You got to go through the class, everything. So, like, it's not... He fought against the elimination of the pistol purchase permits and all that, which, by the way, haven't seen rash of shootings because people have legally obtained firearms without the pistol purchase permits run through the sheriff's office, right? They've been run through the national database, NICS. Yeah. So once again, right, the catastrophizing from the gun grabbers has not come to pass. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.